Hi, we are Jordan, Mariah, and Rachel, and we are still figuring out what we're doing. So you will recognize, if you're paying close attention, that we said that, like, we're going to talk about family and then friendship or singleness. We got super out of order when we were releasing, but we do talk about all of the topics that we have said we will talk about. It's just been a bit scrambled. So bear with us. Today, we are going to be talking about singleness. And then we will get the order correct from there. So bear with us and keep listening.
Hi.
Okay.
Welcome back together to Scattered. We are Jordan and I, Rachel, three friends who love to talk about Jesus. In these next few episodes, we are going to continue in our relationship series. Mm-hmm. And today, we are going to touch on the lovely topic of singleness. We must gather well to scatter well. We'll laugh, we'll cry, and we'll definitely be weird. But our hope is that we will encourage you to scatter well alongside us with a solid foundation on Scripture.
We are. Oh, so and we have a title for our segment.
Title.
Drum roll. Deadhead.
We rehearse this.
Drum roll. Deadhead.
Yes. Oh, perfectly executed. So Mo, what's the Deadhead of the week?
Does anyone want to, like, explain that?
Oh, no.
That's just the name.
They've got Google.
Oh.
I wouldn't even know if I, well, I certainly wouldn't have spelled Tedipet right had I just Googled it.
That's fair. We are trying to come up with a sequence name. Yeah. Segment name. Yeah. I don't even know what the name is. And Rach said blurb, and we just started looking up synonyms and stumbled upon Tedipet.
So here we are.
Let's go, Mo.
My Tedipet. I feel like this one, you know, I say this always. I practice my questions every week. I want to. Do you think you have more eyebrow hairs or eyelash hairs?
Eyebrows. Done. Done. Eyebrows. More eyebrows.
I have no idea. I don't have a lot of hair either place.
I'm definitely have more eyebrows.
I'm lacking.
I've got, like, no eyelashes. That's why I get them glued on.
I feel like maybe eyelashes. Mine are just so light that you can't see them. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Is there a right and a wrong answer? Am I gonna get it wrong?
No, I actually don't know. I was just thinking, like, I didn't really think about my answer.
Yeah.
I was gonna Google, does the average person have more or eyebrows or lashes? Are you doing it?
Yeah.
Oh, why?
I love to hold my microphone.
Yeah, you do. I feel like eyebrows makes more sense.
On average, people have more eyebrow hairs than eyelashes. The average person has between 200 and 400 eyebrow hairs.
With an eyebrow?
Yeah.
That can't be
true. No, that's total. With most people having around 225 to 265.
That's not true for me.
Yeah.
And what's the eyelash?
Eyelashes, people typically have between 90 and 160 eyelashes on their upper lids and 75 to 80 on their lower lids.
Nah. Yeah. That's still under 200, yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, like, if you have, like, 200 eyebrow hairs, but you have 215 eyelashes, then you're the...
Okay.
You said yeah. On normal.
Another question.
But you know who knows?
The Lord.
God.
Knows every hair on your head.
Okay, but if you can only do your eyebrows or your eyelashes, what would you do?
Hey.
I would do my eyebrows.
Like, currently, as I stand right now?
Yes. I don't understand. Okay.
Eyelashes.
So, I get my eyelashes done.
Yeah, you do.
Could I just do my eyebrows? Because that's all I do right now. Does that count?
No.
Okay.
You try to work with both.
I am trying to work the system. Mm-hmm.
No, like, I'm bare bones, no lashes,
mascara,
no makeup on, mascara, or eyebrows.
Cut eyelashes. I need eyelashes.
Okay. I'm doing eyebrows. So I dye my eyebrows.
Yeah.
time, so it makes sense.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's so nice.
You're welcome.
Wow. Thank you. Oh.
Wow.
Rachel's a girlfriend.
Everybody, that was our tete-a-tete for the day. Thanks for whispering.
A topic we are very familiar with.
It is. That's true. That's the truth.
It is.
We are all three single ladies. Uh-oh.
We're good.
There we go. We are all three single ladies, and this is all the single ladies?
No.
Is that where you're going?
No.
What?
If I go to a wedding and people ask if I have any song requests, I put a song non-request in.
Please don't play the song.
Please do not play Single Ladies. Done with it. I'm over it.
Okay. Fair point.
Still enjoy from everyone else.
So,
no.
We shouldn't play that game and that song at game then.
Do whatever you want.
Okay, good. Anywho. Singleness. Yeah, this is something that we've known each other for 2+ years, mm-hmm. each of us. Mm-hmm. You and I almost exactly. Mariah, I'm looking at you. You and I, Rach, a little more. That's true. Mm-hmm. I thought you were disagreeing. Okay. Yeah, and we all have friends who are single and dating and engaged and married. Mm-hmm. And we just have really good conversations. I know we've said before, one of the things that we want to do on this podcast is like bring the conversations that have blessed us to this platform because it has blessed us and we want it to bless you. And this is one of the topics that comes up fairly often.
Yeah. I want to, like, before we start talking about it, I want to, because kind of the flow that I think we're going to go is just actually just have a conversation. Mm-hmm. We've looked up stuff. We've looked at podcasts and different resources online, and there's just so much content out there on singleness.
Yeah, hot topic.
It is a very hot topic, not just in, like, the world of Christianity, but also mm-hmm. in the secular world. The only thing that I want to say before we start getting into our own experiences is, like, why is there so much content? And it's just because the nature of our world today is there are just more single people. So mm-hmm. I went on the Census Bureau.
Yeah, you are.
And 46% of U.S. adults are single. That's
146?
46% of adults. So adult meaning 18 and older, and that is including single, never been married, divorced, and widowed.
Okay.
Wow. So 46% of the U.S. adults are single, according to the U.S. Bureau. That's 117.6 million unmarried Americans. And that's just... there's just so much. There's so many of us who are single, having never been married, people who are out there who have been divorced, people out there who have been widowed, both in the church and in the secular world. And so it is a hot topic. And that is why when I went on Spotify to see if I could just find like a good podcast to listen to in prep for this.
Yeah.
I just typed in singleness and it was just like scroll.
Yeah.
So many episodes. It was wild.
Are you swiping right on my phone?
Oh.
I'm scrolling up on Spotify.
She wasn't on there. One of the things that I looked into that I'll mention briefly, because Rach, correct me if I'm wrong, you said that number is vastly different from like around the 1960s, yeah. Is that correct?
Yeah, so it was the 1960s, so 1955 to 1963, they did another one, and it's 30% of U.S. Americans who are adults were single. So it's 16% more, so
yeah,
it's insane.
So in the 1940s and 50s, we saw a rise in domesticity with the idea of a nuclear family, and so by the 60s, I think it was the 60s that term was actually coined. The modern family came a little while after that, yeah. Because it's so different now, around 2008. And this is all on CSP Global, but it was just interesting in my research seeing that the nuclear family, that being a mother and a father living in the same home with children, that was around the same time frame, 1960.
60s, and then around 2008, so when we were kids, that started changing. And so we had more modernized, and we had more blended families and more divorces. And it's just interesting to me. I think that we know this, but not something we necessarily talk about all the time. Mm-hmm. Like we see that these things are true, but we don't talk about like the trickle down effect, mm-hmm. and how things like going from a nuclear family to more of a modern family has impacted us in the church. We see more, you know, there was a rise in how many people were watching pornography. There was a rise in how many people were loosely mm-hmm. hooking up culture, right?
So like, the sexual, it's a sexual revolution.
Yeah, the end of the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
And so it's just interesting. And it is a trickle-down effect. It all has something to do with, I think, where we're at now.
Yeah.
And I know I talked to you guys about, like, when I was in high school and college, I had mostly guy friends. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, as you get older, that changes. But, like, I miss my guy friends, mm-hmm. you know? And it just, things look different. And I see some people do friendship with man and woman all together. I see people do that really well. And then I see people now who, like, don't know how to do that mm-hmm. because we've turned these, let's just talk about the church, these relationships of brother and sister in Christ to, there's a man, he's at church, he must be a believer. Is he single or mm-hmm. could he be someone for me? Mm-hmm. And so we're not looking at each other anymore with just, like, one anothering, mm-hmm. being, like, love one another, serve one another, but what can you do for me? More of a marketplace relationship, which our church, the pastors at our church talk about a lot.
Yeah. So, like, this is kind of, like, the atmosphere that we're living in.
Yeah.
So what does that look like for us? We are three single women in our 30s, mm-hmm. living in the South, mm-hmm. in church culture.
Yep.
Singleness.
What did you ask? What does the atmosphere look like?
What does that look like for us? Yeah.
Muddy.
It does. Yeah.
It's muddy. I know at church, I don't even know how many years ago, but the idea was talked about that men weren't asking women at their church out because they didn't want to, like, muddy the waters.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't want to go out with Rachel and then not work out and not be able to go out with Mariah or Jordan or, you know, like,
yeah.
And that's just, yeah. backwards to me. Like, and I've said this to you guys before, we should be able to date well, and whoever takes me on a date, we should be able to say, you're a great person, you're not my person, and they should be able to then go on and take you on a date.
Uh-huh. And but we don't know.
Yeah.
To be able to recommend you, yes. as well. Yes. Yeah. It didn't work out for me, but, like, he was lovely.
He's awesome. Yeah.
Please go out with him.
There's a guy that I talked about. We went out earlier this year. He was wonderful.
Yeah.
Like, I would recommend him to any of my friends. And there was just no chemistry there.
Yeah. That's what you want. You want to be able to say, like, oh my gosh, this man loves the Lord. He treated me so well. We mm-hmm. had a good time together. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't it.
Yeah.
And be able to say, yes, go date him.
Please. Please, someone date him.
Yeah.
It's great.
But it is. It's gotten muddy because it's more marketplace.
Well, and I also think that something that I wrestle with, and I think we've talked about this before, is the identity we have as women in the modern 21st century, because we are, we were talking about this earlier, we are single Christian women. And yeah. so where do we find the identity in that? Where is the primary focus of the way we think about ourselves? We should not be thinking of ourselves as the verb single. Like that's the verb. That's not the identifier. That mm-hmm. is a descriptive word. We are Christians first. God made us women, and we happen to be single now. Mm-hmm. Something that, Jordan, you always say that I love, it's the both and.
Yeah.
It's, I deeply desire marriage. I struggle with it regularly. And something else I want to say before we, like, get into all of the things that sound great, this is something that I struggle with deeply. I really want to be married. This is not something that I take lightly. I'm not just giving platitudes where it's, oh, like, everything's great. Like, yeah, no. I really struggle with it, and it's okay, God. Like, I want to be married. You gave me this desire. It is a good thing to be married. It is a good thing to want to be a part of a covenant relationship that reflects Christ in the church, and I want to do it well, submitting to my husband and raising my family in the faith.
Yeah.
But right now, God is using me in his world that he made for his glory as a single woman. And so what does that look like? Because in the church, single women can sometimes feel like we are just kind of oddballs. Like we're just kind of out of place because there's not really a whole lot of direction specifically in scripture for single women, because there weren't a lot of single women in that time period, because most of the time people were married off at the age of 14, 15. So it just wasn't a reality for them back then.
Yeah. One person that I love to think about, well, before I say that, thank you for saying that, because that's true for me too. Like this, I talk about it like it's a roller coaster. Like a lot of the time, I am just completely content and thankful for my singleness and how the Lord is using that. And sometimes I'm going down that steep roller coaster, and I feel like it sounds so dramatic, but I feel like I'm in the pit of despair. I'm like, why do I want this so badly? And you're not giving it to me. But I can be down there, if you will, and be struggling with it and still believe and trust and know that God is good, that God is in control. That doesn't make me feel better in the moment necessarily, but we have to get out of the mindset of like our feelings being facts. I'm not going to feel that way all the time. I'm my own example of that. Yeah. There are some days where I, like, my sister will FaceTime me because my nephews want to talk to me, and it's like 9 on Saturday and I'm still in my bed, and they're like, are you sick? Literally, they ask me, they're like, Jojo, are you sick? I'm like, no. I'm like, why are you in bed? It's like, I didn't want to get out of bed, so I made coffee and came back. Right. And so, like, there are little things where I'm just like, wow, Lord, like, let me appreciate my singleness. And so even when I'm feeling low about it and I'm like, oh, Lord, like, I've been single, I've dated, I've been engaged, I've been all these things, and I've never been able to be married. How come? Mm-hmm. I can go to him and ask him that question, and he invites me to. He says, come, daughter, bring these things to me.
Yeah.
And there's hope in singleness.
Yeah.
And we don't talk about that, and we need to.
Yeah. There's also importance in doing this in community.
Oh yeah.
Like that is one of the whole reasons why we're doing this podcast, is because like Jordan said at the very beginning, we were having these conversations going, oh, you too.
Yeah.
Like that is something where it's, if I'm having a really low moment and I talk to Mariah, she can say, look, yes, you're low right now. This is where your truth is. Like, you are a daughter of God. Mm-hmm. Like, that is what we can do for each other.
Yeah, and if you're looking to give yourself a title, start there. Daughter of the one true God.
Christian woman.
Yeah. Great place to start.
It's great.
One thing that did not actually have anything to do with singleness that stuck out to me in my time with the Lord over the past few weeks, I've been studying the book of John, and in John 1:38, in the specific section of John 1, John the Baptist has said, behold the Lamb of God. He has pointed to Jesus and said, behold the Lamb of God. He has pointed to Jesus and said, this is him.
Yeah.
And so in John 1:38, Jesus asks a question, and I love the question, because John the Baptist tells his disciples, they turn from John the Baptist to start following Jesus, so they're literally walking after him, and Jesus turns around, and he says, what are you seeking?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to pull up. It says, the two disciples heard him, that being John the Baptist, say, behold the Lamb of God, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following him and said to them, what are you seeking? And they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? And I just love that question. What are you seeking? Mm-hmm. And it really just stuck out to me, because I'm like, what am I seeking? Like, at the end of the day, am I truly seeking to honor and glorify the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I seeking to walk my little Christian line, hoping that I get the things that I want from the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Like, am I seeking my glory,
or his glory? Am I seeking the affirmation of man or of God? And what's funny to me is that they don't really answer the question. They say, Rabbi, where are you staying? He's like, what are you looking for? And they're like, hey, where are you staying? Whoop, you didn't answer.
Well, I mean, that can be an answer. It's what are you seeking for? And it's I want to be with you. Where are you staying, Lord? Like, that's how I'm hearing that.
Okay, I like that.
So it's
that's not how I interpreted it.
Yeah, but it's what are you seeking? And they're responding with, where are you staying?
And then that's his response, Jesus says to them, come and you'll see.
Yeah, like, it's I want to be where you are. Like, that is all I desire in this world, is to be where you are, Lord. And if that's single.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, if that's where you have me.
Yeah.
But I just think it's important to consider Jesus is asking the question, what are you seeking? Mm-hmm. And then he points us to himself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's always the answer.
Love that.
Is to be pointed to Jesus. And so when we're talking about singleness and we're talking about a desire to be married, mm-hmm. yes, we want to covenant with a believing man who wants to live his whole life serving God with us. Mm-hmm. And is that mostly what we're seeking? Mm-hmm. Or are we seeking comfort or affirmation or someone to come home to? Like, I think we all need to individually take time to consider, what is marriage?
Yeah.
What am I actually seeking?
Yeah.
Because it can get muddy. And if your answer is not that you're seeking Jesus, talk to him about that.
Yeah.
Pray about that regularly and say, Lord, help me desire to honor and glorify you and desire marriage for your glory and not my own.
Yeah. And if you are single, you need married friends.
Yeah.
Because you need to see what married life is. Because I think that if you ask that question, what am I seeking? Do I think that my life will be perfect if I'm married? And then you talk to your married friends, you will quickly believe that it is not going to be perfect.
Marriage is so hard.
Yeah, there are so many things that I talk to my married friends about that I'm like, okay, like, I can give them truth that scripture says. That is hard. I do not have any real world experience there. That is so hard that you're having to struggle with that.
Yeah.
And that is, if you are not happy single with the Lord, you will not be happy married. Because you're... Yeah. Happiness should not be derived from a relationship status.
Yeah. Well, and if the expectation is marriage will make it better, I invite you to reframe that and consider how unfair it is to put that on your future spouse if that's what the Lord has for you. It's your job to make it better for me.
That's so much.
We can't do that.
No.
It is a sure thing that we are going to let each other down. The three of us are going to let each other down. It's just going to happen. We're imperfect people. It's not like we're going to do it out of malice or because we don't love each other. It's because we are sinful people who, at our very core, are wired to be selfish.
Yeah.
And Jesus in his mercy entered in and did everything that we couldn't do so that by his great grace, we could enter into right relationship with him.
Amen. I think that that's a good a clarifier, though, when we say that we can't be happy in our singleness. We can't be happy. How did you frame it? We can't be happy with the Lord in our singleness.
If we can't be happy with the Lord in our singleness, we won't be happy with the Lord in our Lord.
Okay, so I think that's a good clarifier because I feel like oftentimes people try and use the, well, if you're not happy... Mm-hmm. single, you're not going to be happy married.
Yeah.
And that puts a, to me, that puts it as a state of mind. And then it turns the, what did I have here? So the Lord doesn't require that we attain a particular state before he grants us a gift.
Correct.
And so if we're saying we can't be happy married, if we're not happy single, I think that's putting us in a particular state.
Yeah.
And then that's saying that you can't have this gift until you get happy. To this next state. And
which is the opposite of how it works.
No. Because the Lord doesn't grant us gifts
based on our achievements. Yeah. Yeah. No.
I mean, look at our salvation.
Yeah.
Not on our own merit.
Yeah.
because simply by the grace of God, yeah. simply by His gift that we choose to accept or reject.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
And that was the with the Lord.
Yes, the Lord. Yes, yes. Well, and even to tease that out a little bit further, the word happy. I'm not always happy, mm-hmm. right? Like, I have times, if we go back to the roller coaster analogy, I have times where I'm not happy with my singleness, but the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Amen.
Right? And so, I have been in a place where my wedding was called off, and I was not happy. I was crying a lot. Mm. Not happy. But my joy was in the Lord. And because He allowed me to struggle with singleness before that engagement, and walk me through ways that I could see the goodness that is in singleness, I could sit there in a broken engagement and say, Lord, thank you for protecting me from whatever you protected me from. Thank you for saving me for whatever you have next for me. And one thing, I want to talk to the girl or the guy who was engaged and is no longer, or was married and is no longer. The best thing the Lord has for you next might not be marriage.
Yeah.
But it's going to be what's best according to Him. And that's a hard thing to consider and a hard thing to work through. But I think it's an important thing to talk about, because growing up, all I ever heard was you go to high school, you go to college, you get married, you have babies. And then that didn't happen.
Yeah.
And so I thought, like, my reaction to that was like, oh, I'm the problem. Like, there's something wrong with me.
Yeah.
And that's simply not true. Like, sin, sure, we can all say that. But, like, I don't think we live in a space where we recognize, hey, relationships are hard work. Relationships are, even just friendships are hard work. But, like, this isn't just something that happens.
Yeah.
This is something that is God ordained all of our lives. He has decided.
Yeah.
We're not in control of that.
Yeah.
What we control is our decision to day by day live for the Lord and trust that in His timing, the right things are going to happen at the right time with the right people. And that's hard.
Yeah.
But if you are sitting in a spot where you just had hope for something specific and it was taken away from you, God is still good and He's sitting with you in it. You're not alone in it.
Yeah.
He's not going to let you be alone in it. Don't choose to be alone in it. Be picky with your people, but don't withdraw from everyone.
So, yeah, we're not promised marriage. No. That is a good gift. We are not promised marriage, but we are promised so many things. And so when you are struggling with those, there are so many verses in Scripture that God makes specific promises for those who love Him.
Yeah.
And I want to read a few of those right now just for encouragement purposes. So Isaiah 49, I'm going to read 14, and I'm just going to keep going for a little while. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Your sons shall make haste. Your destroyers and those who laid you waste shall go away from you. Lift up your eyes and look around and see. All these gather together and come to you as I live, says the Lord. You shall surely clothe yourselves with them all as an ornament and bind them on you as a bride does. The other one I want to go into, Psalms 16. This is a, I love this title, The Hope of the Faithful and the Messiah's Victory. Hmm. And I'm just going to read Psalms 16, 1 through a little bit. Oh, no. There we go. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom all is my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied who hasten after another god. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. This is a good part. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. And then the last one is Psalm 84, 10 through 12. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Listen, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly, O Lord of hosts. Blessed is the man who trusts in you. That no good thing that he's talking about does not mean that he's going to give you all the good things that you think you should have.
Yeah.
He is going to give you his good things. Yeah. And that could mean marriage. That could mean a wonderful life of faithful singleness where you are able to bless so many people in that ministry. We don't know what the good is that God has for us, and that is hard, but he does give us those promises that he will not forsake us. We are written on his hands, and he will not neglect his children.
Mm, that's good. And I love in the Psalm 16 when it talks about the Lord being our portion, because I can read that and be like, okay, like I don't really know what that means. And so I think at church recently, it was explained by one of our pastors.
2 weeks ago.
Okay. You know, that word portion can also be translated inheritance.
Yeah.
And so we have things so skewed. Like, and it was such an honest question, but I had one of the girls who goes to the high school I work at ask the question, like, is it bad that I don't want Jesus to come back before I get married? I was like, wow, what an honest question.
Yeah.
You know? And I just think that that is evidence of how backwards we have it. And she was being honest and she's exploring, and I'm so dang proud of her.
Mm-hmm.
But when we consider God is our portion, God is our inheritance, I think that it just draws us back to that eternal mindset that we are called to have.
Yeah.
And we are to have that in our singleness as well.
Yeah.
My inheritance is the same as my married sister and brother-in-law, as all of my married friends who are believers.
Yeah.
Those of us who know Jesus, who have been saved by grace through faith, our inheritance is God.
Yeah.
And we have to make that primary. We have to make that foundational and not secondary, not tertiary, not God is good and God is my inheritance and everything is okay because I'm married.
Yeah.
No, God is my portion.
Yeah. But that is such a real question.
Oh, yeah. It's so honest.
Girl, I have had that so many times, like, God, please just don't come back until I can have
fill in the blank.
Yeah, the wedding of my dreams, the house that I've always wanted, the man who loves me unconditionally, the children that I want to fill in my house. Like, don't come back until.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then, like, don't come back until this person who I love, who I've been praying for years, has come to faith. You know, like,
oh, 100% pray that. Yeah.
And, like, some of them are for others, right? But some of them are selfish for us. And I just think that we, in this world where there are so many distractions and so many things, even good distractions, but things that are taking our eyes from the Lord, even if, like, from the Lord to how I'm serving in the church, I can't forget that it's for the Lord, right? And so in singleness and in a desire for marriage, which is, like you said, a good desire, I have to remember, if Jesus comes back before I get married, amazing.
I will not be sad.
Because what is marriage? It's a picture of Christ and the church. And we will have eternity with him, with our brothers and sisters who currently are single or dating or engaged or married.
Yeah.
And all of us are just going to be so in awe of who God is in the presence of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. We're not thinking about what we, quote, missed out on in our lives on earth.
We will have missed out on nothing.
No.
We'll be flying.
Cool.
That's what I think.
Flying?
Yeah.
Oh.
We should talk about heaven one.
Oh.
I think we should talk about heaven. Okay. I think that'd be so much fun.
Great.
Yeah.
That might make my brain hurt. I'm going to be honest. That would be cool.
Oh, I want to talk about it so bad.
Okay.
I think about it all the time.
Okay, we'll add it.
Okay. I kind of love that singleness falls into just about everything else that we do in life, where we tend to
want and look at the things that we don't have versus the things that we have and are good right in front of us, because I think it's really easy to forget that singleness is a beautiful thing, and there's so much that singleness can bring, and you can serve so well when you're single, and you can serve well when you're married as well, but I think that we forget how, and I think Paul also describes this really well in 1 Corinthians, that we forget that when we're married, there's another person besides ourselves that we are like are serving.
Yeah.
And that is in a way a distraction.
Yeah.
And when you're single, you don't have that other person to distract you in your everyday life. You know, you have the people that you go through life with, and they can be distractions as well. But when you're married, it's different. So
your Paul focus actually, is split.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So Paul actually says in 1 Corinthians 7:32, an unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs. How can he please the Lord? But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world. How can he please his wife? And his interests are divided. Mm-hmm. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. Mm-hmm. I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then he finishes 1 Corinthians 7 off with, in my judgment, she is happier if she stays as she is. And I think that I too have the Spirit of God. And that's pertaining to just if a woman, if her husband dies, she's free to marry again. But he's saying that I believe that she should stay single.
Yeah.
And Paul is single.
Yeah.
And he has such a strong character. And Jesus is also single. But I think that we tend to put so much on marriage, and we forget how much singleness brings as well. I was most recently reminded of this just this past weekend, where I was so exhausted from one of the fullest weeks I've really had, and I was so excited for a day of rest on Sunday, and I had two friends reach out separately that I know are struggling. And I sat on the messages like, I'm tired. I don't have anything to pour into you. And I prayed about it, and the Lord was like, yes, you do. I will give it to you. And so I responded to both, and I was like, I'm on my way. And I had not had to. I wanted to pour into these two friends, even though I felt like I had nothing left to give. And I got home that night, and I was tired.
Sure.
But I was also like, I probably could have done that had I been married, but I can't serve my friends the way I don't, if marriage isn't my future, I don't think I would be able to serve my friends the way that I do right now.
It would be different.
And that was just a prime example, like how full my week was, how tired I was, but then I still had these two people who I still wanted to love well and to serve. And how I have children running around and a husband, like, I probably wouldn't have been able to do that.
Yeah.
And that was just, like, a really big reminder for me.
That's good.
Yeah.
I love that. It's just kind of the Lord to remind you in that way.
Yeah.
And not in, like, a mountaintop, like, woohoo, look at what you get to do, but, like, here's a chance to serve my sisters in love and give them what I feel like I don't have and trust that the Lord is going to provide me with it.
Yeah. It's so good.
That is a blessing.
Listen, I also did have to pray about it, so.
Yeah.
Don't forget the power of prayer.
That's a good
thing. So that is, wasn't me, it was the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. And we are saying all of these things, and, like, you bringing up prayer and asking the Lord, that is something that I really want to talk about, because it's something that I personally struggle with, because it's, I can pray for anyone else. I am more than comfortable praying for what I believe are eternal things. So, like, more than happy to pray for, Lord, give me patience, Lord, give me help, Lord, give me the strength to be with my friends and encourage
encourage them in the way that you would give me to your dream student. It is very difficult for me to pray for temporal things, so things that are on this earth, and we're told to, we're called to. And I do think that even though, yes, we are talking about how wonderful it is to be single, and it is a beautiful thing, like, we have the desire to be married, and we should ask the Lord for that.
Yes.
So I listened to a podcast by Elizabeth Elliott, and she did a talk to a singles group down in Texas, and she talked about surrendering your list to God, and I want to go into that a little bit, but she finished up the talk with this wonderful quote, and it says, "Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer."
Wow.
And it's just so, like, we have a good Father who wants to hear what we want. Like, we're His children. Yeah. So we can go to Him as expectant children going, God, Father, please, I want to be married to glorify you. Like, make sure your heart's right. Make sure you're doing what Jordan said earlier and understand why you want to be married. But take it to God.
Yeah.
And then when you're taking it to God and you're saying, I want to be married, I want Him to be XYZ, all of these things, the list, like we were talking about earlier.
Like, surrendering the list to Him. That's, I like that, like, a lot.
If He looks like Henry Cavill, won't complain. But Elizabeth Elliott said, surrender your list to God. So she told a story about this. He is a sings. He sings. What is it? The pastor. So sing. Oh my gosh, I'm losing my mind.
A worship pastor?
Yes, he was a worship leader.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Like a musician? I don't know what you're saying.
His name is Charles Alexander. And she told this beautiful story, and I've forgotten all of it, but basically the gist of the story is he turned over his criteria to the Lord. He said, okay, I think I know what I want. I want her to be 5'5". I want her to have red hair and blue eyes and freckles, and I want her to be a teacher, and I want her to be all these things. And he had his list of what he wanted. And he came, why is that funny?
That's pretty funny. I was like, what's true with me on the list? Sorry, continue.
And that he said, Lord, this is what I think I want. This is the good thing I think I want. I am turning that list over to you because you know better than me what I need. Mm-hmm. So it's, he might not be 6'5", ladies.
Oh.
He might be 5'10", and loves the Lord with such a passion that it melts your heart. Oh. Like, there is just something about a man who loves the Lord. But so God knows what we need better than we do. So turn your list over to God, too.
Of course it's sweet for a man to love the Lord. How sweet is it when a man loves his family?
I know.
Love the Lord with all of your soul. Because a man who loves his family here on earth is like, a man who loves the Lord. Woo!
Y'all, when we, on Tuesday, so we're recording on a Wednesday, yesterday, Tuesday, when we were standing there, worshiping, there's this group of men behind us. I don't know them, but they were singing.
They were worshiping.
And I was just like, oh, God bless those men. Yeah. That is wonderful. It was so heartwarming. It just made encouraging. Me smile. Yeah.
And I didn't notice this until a colleague pointed it out. He went to a men's conference. And he was like, Jordan, I don't know if I've ever been in a room full of just men and only heard men singing.
Oh, that's great.
And I started thinking about it since then. Mostly I'm hearing women. I'm hearing some men too. But when we're at church, it's mostly women that I'm hearing singing. And it is just something so special.
Yeah.
When we hear our brothers worshiping our God.
That's great. So I took a sidebar. I took a seminary class a few years ago with my mom. And we sat in the back, and so it was all men, and then it was the two of us in the back. And the teacher, his name was Dr. Lowe, and he, L-O-W-E, not related. And he started it was a New Testament survey class, and he started it was a Pauline Epistles class, and he started every class with worship.
Oh.
And so me and my mom just got to sit back and just, like, listen to these men worship the Lord. And it was wonderful. Yeah, it was so good.
That's sweet.
Yeah. And my mom brought donuts, so one of them would ask me out, and no one did.
Always scheming, Mom.
They
always scheming.
Her. They loved her. It was great. It was so much fun.
That's amazing. Oh my goodness. I do like this list that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Green for ourselves is something that we've talked about plenty as well. And I realized that I was putting certain expectations on the things that I was asking God for, right? And so kind of going back to people who are like in other religions, like if you do X, Y, and Z, then you'll be able to go to heaven.
Yeah.
And what you were saying earlier about like, if you do these things, then you'll be ready for marriage and then you'll be found. And I, yeah, no.
Just wanted to make sure.
To clarify.
Yeah. No. It's not how that works.
Right.
It's not a reward-based system.
Super not. But I realized that I don't know when it creeped in, but I started having expectations like, okay, Lord, if I pray for long enough, right? And so I, 4 months ago, had a conversation with the Lord, truly lamenting. If you don't practice lamenting, do it. It will bless you. It will be hard, and it will bless you.
Define that. I'm sorry.
Okay. So I think of Job, and then I think of Lamentations, and I think of places where we see in Scripture where people are truly bearing their souls before the Lord, holding nothing back, truly in their feels, if you will. Did you hate that a little?
Oh, I hate it so much.
I knew you would. But like truly like nothing held back. And just like, Lord, this is how I feel. These are the thoughts that I am having. This is what I am dealing with. And for me, in the past, it's been so many different things. Currently, obviously, we're talking about singleness. And so I have lamented before the Lord, like, Lord, I have been through every season of singleness and I'm choosing you and I trust you. But the both and you were talking about, I trust you and I'm tired of wanting to be single. Mm-hmm. And so just being honest, and I just felt him encouraging me to ask him for it. And it's like, you know, I want it, right?
Like,
isn't that kind of checked off? But it made me realize I was afraid.
Yeah.
I was afraid to ask because I didn't trust him.
Yeah.
Not even necessarily I didn't trust he would bring it. I didn't trust him with the desire. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I don't know what you're going to do with this desire. And so if I ask you for it and then you don't give it to me, I don't want that to crush me. And that was so much weight that I was putting not in the proper place at the foot of the cross. And so for the last 4 months, I've prayed every evening. And it's been really cool because it's encouraged me to pray for y'all every evening and other single girls that we know. You're welcome. It's been really sweet. But every time I get to me, I literally eye roll and I'm like, Lord, you know I want to be married. You know? I was like, Lord, I'm going to pray this every night for 6 months. And now I'm like, you got 2 months left, you know? But again, I catch myself being like, no, like, you may not answer this in the next 2 months. You may not ever answer this. And I trust you no matter what. And so it's taking that list. It's taking those specific things that you desire and not just like placing it down with your hand down where you could pick it right back up, but literally extending your hand, opening it so that the desire falls out of your hands at the feet of the cross, and then you lift your hands up to praise the Lord, and you choose to trust him.
It's a great visual.
You choose. And you can say, Lord, this is hard, but I'm going to choose to trust you. I'm scared you're not going to do what I want you to do, but I'm going to choose to trust you because that's what's in our control.
That's so good. Isn't that funny, though, that it's so easy for us to pray for each other and it's so hard to pray for our own things?
Yeah.
I have specific things that I pray for y'all spouses, like specific characteristics. Like, Lord, it'd be really cool if you gave Jordan this type of man because she needs this and this, and it would be just great.
Help.
Someone who will affirm you in every single way. Just words of affirmation. Glowing. Just
I need an A plus on everything.
I'm like, Lord, give Jordan a man who is verbal and will tell her how stunning she is every day. Like, it is just, it's so easy for me to do that for y'all. And then I'm like, and, you know, I'd like to be married as well.
You just gotta slide it in.
Please, please, one day.
I'll fucking do.
Before I'm, like, 16, please.
Well, I want to real quickly bring up two women in the Bible.
Oh, no.
You want to talk about her, too, though? Yeah. Okay, well, I like to talk about two of the two R's.
Ruth.
Oh. And?
Is it
Rebecca?
Oh.
Rebecca?
Rebecca?
Yeah.
Let's go.
I was like,
Rachel?
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah.
She was the pretty way.
chill.
This one. She oh, what?
Chill.
I was about to say this one would be too. Chill. So, both of them, while they were single, found their husbands through serving. Mm. And I think that that is really cool to highlight.
Yeah.
And if you don't know the stories, just quick little overview. Abraham sent a servant to find a wife for his son Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go. And the servant went and he prayed specifically mm-hmm. for specifically. He prayed specifically for a successful mission. And for a young woman that would provide water for him and his camels. And that would be the woman who would be the wife of Isaac,
yep.
Abraham's son. And before he could even finish this prayer, a woman, Rebecca, hydrated.
There we go.
The servant and his camels. Mm-hmm. And so, and this is Genesis 24:12.
Okay.
So Rebecca was serving. Mm-hmm. Okay.
She noticed a need. And she filled it.
Exactly. Ruth.
Can I point out too?
Yes.
She did that for someone who she did not expect anything in return.
Yeah. Right. She had no idea. Yeah. She had no idea this servant yeah. was praying.
She was like,
for
yeah. oh, this yeah. man yes. needs water. His yeah. camels need water. Honestly, I'm going to do hard work for them and they can't do anything for me.
Yeah.
But I'm going to serve well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good.
Beautiful. Thank you. Great clarifier. So Ruth has her own book.
Yeah.
She's amazing. We love her. So Ruth, I think I look at it as she served both Naomi and Boaz.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So Ruth was so faithful to Naomi, who was her mother-in-law. Naomi lost both her sons and her husband. Mm-hmm. And Ruth, instead of staying in her homeland with her family, decided to go back with Naomi to her homeland, not knowing these people. Mm-hmm. So Ruth serves Naomi in that way. And then Ruth then goes on to glean, mm-hmm. which is collecting grains that are left behind from mm-hmm. these reapers, which is a farming machine. So Ruth then goes on to glean in Boaz's fields.
Yeah.
And Boaz takes a liking to Ruth. He hears the story of how faithful she's been to her mother-in-law.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of my favorite things about that story is God takes care of two single women in there.
Yeah.
He takes care of Ruth through her faithfulness, and he takes care of Naomi, even though she doesn't believe it's going to happen.
Yeah.
She, when she comes back to Bethlehem, she tells the women of the city to not call her Naomi anymore, mm-hmm. which means, I can't remember what Naomi means.
It means sweet.
Yeah. And then she tells them to call her Mara, which means bitter. She had decided God was done with her.
Yeah.
She had decided God was done blessing her. And the thing that's so just interesting, I heard a podcast or someone say that if you look at that still frame of them coming back into Bethlehem, you see Naomi talking to the women about that. You pan out, you see Ruth faithfully standing behind her. You pan out, you see Boaz in the field that God had already prepared as providence for Ruth and Naomi.
Yeah.
So God is already working in your life in a way you can't see it. So even if you believe God has not bless you, will not bless you. He's done blessing you. You do not know what he has in store.
Yeah, like the barley harvest.
Yeah, we are called to be faithful in service. Mm-hmm. Ruth was faithful to care for her mother-in-law. She was faithful to do the right thing when she was supposed to do the right thing. And that's what we are called to do. We're called to obedience.
Yeah. Think about the timing, too, for
Yeah.
Like for Naomi, she loses both of her children and her husband. And then she gives her blessing, but she loses one of her daughters-in-law. Mm-hmm. And then they have to travel all the way back. Talk about being at the bottom of a pit. Like,
yeah.
She's like, this is as bad as it gets, period, end of story. I am a widow. I'm a childless widow, and I have this daughter-in-law with me. I can't provide for myself. I'm not going to be safe. I have none of these things. All the while, the seeds were being planted, literally, for the barley harvest while things are happening, while they're having to come back, so that when they get back, there would be work for Ruth to do so that these blessings could happen.
Yeah.
And we're not promised that we'll be able to look back and see those specific things, right?
Nope.
My mom was talking to me about this recently, and just with work, and she's like, you work for high schoolers, and you might not ever get to see the good that you've done for them, and that's a hard place to be. And I just think that's true for us in our lives. Like, we're not promised to see the whole picture. We get a little pieces of the puzzle.
Yeah.
And it's cool to look back and say, like, okay, God, like, I see what you did. But there are parts of looking back where I'm like, still, what was the point of that? You know, I'm like, I might not ever know this side of heaven. And again, I have to choose to trust him in that.
Yeah.
And it's an active choice every day.
Yeah.
To choose to trust him.
I love this quote by Charles Spurgeon that goes with what you're talking about. It says, Charles Spurgeon is a pastor that I just absolutely love so much. I will probably quote him every other podcast. Mm-hmm. Heads up. I love him.
Yeah.
God has not promised to rescue us according to our timetable. Mm-hmm. If it appears that your prayers are unanswered, do not dishonor the Lord with unbelief. Mm-hmm. Waiting in faith is a high form of worship. Mm-hmm. In some respects, it excels the adoration of the shining ones above. God delivers his servants in ways that exercise their faith. He would not have them lacking in faith, for faith is the wealth of the heavenly life. Mm-hmm. He desires that the trial of faith continues until faith grows strong and comes to full assurance. The sycamore fig never ripens into sweetness unless it is bruised. The same is true of faith. Tested believer, God will bring you through, but do not expect him to bring you through in the way that human reason suggests, for that would not develop your faith.
Gosh.
It's so good. Oh, it's so good. And this guy, Charles Spurgeon, guys, he had a tough life. He was plagued with illness upon illness. But he was such a great pastor. And he honestly has one of the most beautiful love stories of any pastor I've ever read. Mm-hmm. I have a book on him and his wife that I will let y'all, if you want.
Thank you.
They wrote each other letters every day.
Oh,
they're so sweet. And he was 3 years younger than her. Just saying. So plug.
Oh, man. That's pretty good. That's encouraging.
I have one last thing to
touch
on.
Sweet.
So, when I was reading something, I was reminded that Proverbs 31, I think this is really cool. Proverbs 31 is kind of iconic, I think, at least.
I quoted Proverbs 31 in my testimony.
Oh my gosh. And I thought, I didn't think anything of it, and I think today while I was reading something, I was reminded that Proverbs 31, the woman's role in that passage is described as a wife, the role of a wife, but it's important to remember that there are characteristics in that chapter as well, and characteristics can be said for just women across the board, regardless of your role, your status.
Yeah.
So I want to encourage women who maybe have just skimmed over that passage, who are single, or a widow, or just unmarried, and think that chapter is just speaking to the role of to a wife, to a married woman, because I think it is very important to remember that there are characteristics of a woman in there, and
yeah,
I think it's very strong, and
I hadn't even thought about that when I was writing my testimony, mm-hmm. but while I was reading something today, it said something about that being that passage being described for a wife, and it just got me thinking, and then I had to look into it a little bit, and lo and behold, it was like, yes, it is in fact describing the role of a married woman, but it is characteristics.
And if you zoom out a little bit more and consider context, this is a was it a queen mother? It's a queen mother who's describing to her son what would make up a good wife. Yeah,
the type of woman to look for. And so she is not necessarily yet married.
Correct. And so when you look at, like, the woman I thought of earlier, Lydia in the Bible, who was a businesswoman, who owned her own home at that time, which meant, like, she had people working for her in her home. Like, she would have had servants, she would have had the whole nine, and then she invited people in. So she was working for herself. She was able to afford a home. She was able to open her home and show hospitality and do all of these things that the, quote, Proverbs 31 woman should do. Mm-hmm. But these are things that we all, as children of God, men and women, we need to be hard workers. We need to be hospitable. We need to be kind and open to inviting people into our lives and into our homes. And that is something that we can do in singleness. Your life doesn't start when you get married.
Amen.
Your life started when you were born, and you get to choose as an adult, okay, these are the gifts that God has given me. I can use all of these gifts in my singleness. Mm-hmm. How can I use them to the glory of God?
Yeah.
And it's an honor to be able to do that. Yeah. And so if we can reframe and still appreciate marriage and learn about marriage in the lens of scripture and how good it is and what a big blessing it is, while also considering it is hard work.
Yeah.
And it's sacrificial, we can see the blessing that it is, even in the moments where we're struggling with it, or the days, or the months, or however long, and trust that God is good, and still have our joy be in Him, because we're thinking about it correctly.
Amen. Come on now.
And it's hard to do, but it is possible to do.
Yep.
Don't do it alone. Bring people in.
Yeah. I love being single.
It's great.
You said you love it?
I do.
That's good.
It's a blessing.
Yeah. I strive. I strive to love it.
Listen, I desire other things, but I do love it.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't be taking 14 trips a year if I weren't single.
That is very true. Yeah. That is very, very true.
Man. Love you guys. This is good.
Love you too. Yeah, this was a good one.
Also, can I just say that we are in a small group. We're in a small group with, we started at like 6, and then we got up to 12 at one point, to our max. And every single one of us, ages 27 to 33, single.
Yeah.
And that was so cool.
Yeah.
It was so cool to see, but also really frustrating. I think I struggle with that line too, because I know how beautiful and godly all, myself included, 12 of us are. And so I was like, God, what? How, like, thank you so much for bringing me all these women in, my same season.
Yeah. But also, I'm confused.
Bring that, like, they all desire this, and like, I don't need to know what you're doing. No. It's fine. But like,
on that note, something else that I've been praying that I just encourage anyone and everyone who hears this to do. We need to be praying for the men in the church.
Amen.
We do. This world is so full of things that are creating so much chaos that leads our brothers in Christ away from what is good and what is right. And it's confusing. It warps minds. Mm-hmm. There's evil in this world that is on the attack. And, of course, they're going to go, the evil spirits are going to go for men, because what do you look at in scripture? You look at a man and a woman who are getting married and raising a family for the faith. We need strong men who are going to lead strong women, who are going to raise up strong children for the sake of the gospel. Yeah. And so often I'm like, God, what you doing? Like, tons of single men, tons of single women. Why is it not happening?
Yeah.
Also, take a beat to say, Lord, be with my brothers and draw them to you and help them to desire more than anything to be in right relationship with you,
amen,
to seek you first above all else, to renew their minds. Like, we have to take our thoughts captive. Scripture tells us to do that. It says that there has to be a renewal of our minds, and we need to pray that for each other and pray that for our brothers in Christ.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if we are going to have any listeners who are single men, but we really want to encourage you guys to, in that, like, all, everything that we've talked about in our singleness applies to you guys as well. And, like, get your satisfaction in the Lord. Like, obviously, yes, would love to have more people married than, than 52% of the population or whatever it is. But,
that's
what it is. And I think, that leads to what we're going to talk about next week,
which is
dating in the church. We'll talk about what it actually looks like to date biblically and what it looks like to date your brothers and sisters and leave them better than you found them.
And say, you're great, you're not my guy or you're not my gal, but let me recommend you.
And you're okay with that.
Yeah. We just need to get, we'll talk about this, we need to get better at having our feelings hurt.
So true.
We just do.
We're just not.
Well, we can talk about that too.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Well, thanks so much for listening, everyone. We hope you will join us again next week as we dabble in dating in the church. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Just search Gather to Scatter and subscribe, like, and follow.
Thank you guys.
Bye. Bye.